to apologize because you get half of my family in one weekend, and that's a lot of rip-offs, so I do want to apologize. So I'm giving my witness on group today, and Paul and I didn't work our talks out together, but I feel like they complement each other very well, which wasn't our doing, that was the Spirit's doing. So I can honestly tell you that 2 years ago, I wouldn't be able to be up here giving this talk. Jesus was always just a character in a book to me. He was just the guy who saved my life and gave me everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. No big deal. You know, whatever. I mean, I was too cool for him. It didn't matter. I was selfish. I was for myself. I went on this retreat 2 summers ago, and it was in Omaha, Nebraska. I know what's in Omaha, but this retreat, that's what was in Omaha. And it was really special. I went with a group of my friends who live in Pennsylvania, and they really have helped me in my spiritual walk and through my spiritual journey. And it was really, I was really grateful that I got to spend this week with them. And so we go up to Omaha, and the whole week, I just feel Christ preparing my heart. And I'm like, God, I never felt this way before. I was starting to fall in love with God. I was falling in love with them. You know, I'm a girl, okay, obviously. All right, and ladies, why do we love Disney princess movies so much? Okay, it's a scientific term called princessology, all right? And it is the want or desire to become a princess. And we have that because Christ calls us to be princesses. We're going to go to his kingdom, and guess what? We're going to be a princess. So Jesus has called us to be princesses. My personal favorite Disney princess is Belle. So everybody's seen Beauty and the Beast, right? You know, she goes, God has a curse, sees him for who he really is, falls in love with him, and he changes back into a human. Okay, at the beginning of the movie, he's forceful. He's trying to break down her door, getting her to come to dinner, screaming at her, and she's not responsive. She's like, I'm not coming down with you. But whenever he starts being gentle and a gentleman and caring and loving, that's when she starts responding to him. That's exactly how Jesus is. He is such a gentleman. I can't even describe it. It's just, it's so awe-inspiring and passionate and irrevocable. You cannot reverse this love, this gentleman-like qualities that Jesus has for you. And he calls each of us. And my dad said yesterday, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not going to break the door down. He's going to be a gentleman, and he's going to wait for you because that's how much he loves you. And it's something that I can't tell you how to do. You just have to be open to it and pray about it and figure it out for yourself. So I'm at this retreat, and Mama Mary, I have to talk about Mama Mary. I can't leave her out of this. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she, as soon as I had a relationship with her, I had a relationship with Christ. St. John Bosco said, it's almost impossible to reach Jesus except through Mary. And it's so true. Get a relationship with her if you don't have one. If you have one, grow deeper with her because she leads you right to her son. And it's beautiful. And she just gives you this love and this passion and this zeal for Jesus that you never had before. So if you're looking for something, I would say go through Mary first. So Mary and Jesus, they're preparing my heart all week, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. And it's the end of the week, it's on a Thursday or Friday, we're going to leave on Saturday, and there's about 2,000, 3,000 people. We were in the ballroom at the hotel, and they were having mass, and this priest, he holds up the bread, and you know, usually they hold it up and they put it back down. He holds it up for about 20 seconds. I can't tell you what happened. It wasn't fireworks. It wasn't crying. It wasn't anything extravagant. I just had this peace, and I knew in my heart of hearts that that was Jesus. That was Jesus. I felt about this big because I realized that I spent all those years going up to Eucharist and just being like, okay, well, I have to do this after Mass. I have to do this, and I have to read this, and I have this homework. That's so wrong. That we should be crawling up on our hands and knees. We should be crying. If we even really knew what it was, we would be bawling our eyes out every time we received. Remember we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you? Are we really saying it? Because we're not worthy to receive him, but he wants us to receive him. Because he knows that whenever we consume him, he consumes us. And that's the power and that's the beauty of the Eucharist. I can't give you a pamphlet. I can't write a book. I can't sell you like 5 days, 5 easy steps, get to know that Jesus is in the Eucharist. You have to figure it out for yourself. You have to prepare yourself for Mass. If you really want that, Jesus is going to give it to you. I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted to grow deeper in my relationship with Christ because I saw all these people around me who had this love and they were so happy, and I didn't have that. I did not have that. I was not happy. I was shy. I was insecure. I hated myself. I did not like who I was because I didn't know who I was. And you're not going to know who you are until you know who you are in Christ, because Christ discerns your path for you. You cannot go on with your relationship with Christ until you know him in the Eucharist. You know, I realized in that moment, this isn't a Father Fred thing. This isn't a Bob thing. This isn't a Mary Paul thing. This isn't a Kay thing. This isn't a me thing. This is a Jesus thing. This is an all-encompassing, worldwide Jesus thing. Everybody, on every Sunday, on every day, Jesus is coming to us in the humble form of bread. Bread. Jesus could come to us as the Jolly Green Giant if he wanted to. But you know what? He comes to us as bread. Because that's how much he loves us. That is his sacrifice. That, whenever Isaac brought his son up to be sacrificed, that's Jesus. That was symbolic of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus gave it all for us. And whenever we go up there and we're thinking about other things, how are we treating Jesus? Like, oh, Jesus, okay, well, like, you know, you died for me, but whatever. Like, it doesn't matter because I'm too cool for you. Because I'm in high school and I have the whole world figured out. Or I'm in my 30s and I have the whole world figured out. Or I'm a parent and I have the whole world figured out. Because I've been here long enough. I can do it. We all fall into it. I still do it. Even though I know that Jesus is present in that Eucharist, I still go up there without truly preparing my heart. You know, I say a little prayer before I go up. You know, Jesus, let me fully and humbly receive you. But sometimes that can even become cliche and it just kind of goes through my head. Like many of the prayers that we say at Mass. I was telling our small group, whenever we say the Nicene Creed, do we really think about what we say, or do we just say it? I mean, it's a really long prayer, and I understand, and our minds go off, we're human, it happens. But Christ calls us to something so much greater than that. You know, the next Mass you go to, every prayer, everything you do, I want you to really think about it. Really think about what you're saying. It makes the Mass come alive. You experience it in this whole new way. It's awesome. It's awesome. How many of you guys have ever heard of Matt Maher? Matt Maher, Catholic, singer, songwriter, okay. You need to be Matt Maher fans. He's really awesome. And he was doing this Mass and concert up in Pennsylvania. And my family and I went up, and I was so excited when it came around to Eucharist because I was like, I was here, Matt Maher was there. I was like, oh my gosh, oh yeah, I'm right close to Matt Maher. You know, and I'm like receiving Jesus and I'm like looking back. And I'm like, I just bypassed Jesus for Matt Maher. I just bypassed Jesus for Matt Maher. What is that? Like who do I think I am? Jesus, Matt Maher. Jesus, soccer. Jesus, school. Jesus, friends. You need to start making your choices. You know, we're all going to sin. We're all going to do it. You know, there are days when I don't want to go to Mass. And you know what I say? Shame on me. Shame on me. Because that's not why Jesus died for me, so that I could pick and choose when I really want to go to Mass and when I want to sleep in. Shame on me. That's not what Christ calls me to. So, where do you go from here? How do you grow from this retreat? Right now, you guys are probably on like a Jesus high. And you're just like, oh yeah, Jesus. It's awesome. And you know what? I've been there, and it's a really great experience. And I see some nods and some people saying yeah, because they know what it feels like, and it feels good. And if you don't feel that right now, that's okay. You're not abnormal. Christ is going to come to you whenever Christ wants to come to you. So no worries if you're not feeling that. So right now you're on this Jesus high, and you're going to leave here, and you're going to go home, and maybe you'll start fighting with your parents or your siblings, or your friends will come over and, you know, they're using bad language and they want to watch dirty shows, and you're like, wait, but Jesus, I love you. And you get so conflicted. And it's really hard in a society that looks down upon Christianity. You know, people are like, oh, Christians, they eat my Bible. They shove my Bible down my throat. And you don't have to do that. You can do it in a loving and caring way that's not going to make them feel like, oh my gosh, they're so much better than me. They're holier than thou art. They're so much better than me. There's a way to come about it in a loving and tender and gentle way. And I know that you guys can do it because right now you guys are filled with the Spirit. I know you guys can do it. Be strong. You're not going to stay on your mountaintop experience forever. You're not going to always have your Jesus high. You're going to fall. And that's okay. That's part of life. But whenever you leave here, I encourage you to go to the Tuesday night prayer meetings and the thing that's going to be out here at the pavilion, the CSI. People work hard to put these things together. And sometimes you don't realize that until you help out with the retreat. But people work really hard, and there's a lot of prayer and dedication that goes into doing it. So if you do it for no other reason, just do it for the people who put in so much work for it. But really, guys, Christ doesn't call us to go from retreat to retreat to prayer group to retreat to retreat to retreat to small group. Because right now, we're in a safe haven. Right now, we're like behind the wall of China, and the Mongolians can't get us. When we go out in the world, as St. K. Gargarella would say, the world belongs to Satan. The world belongs to Satan. And you know what? Satan's everywhere. He is everywhere. And he's, you know what, right now, Satan wants you more than he's ever wanted you before, because you are so much closer to Christ. But on the flip side, Christ wants you more than he's ever wanted you before, because you're that much closer to him. Don't stay in this gray area. You have to pick. You can't be like, well, I don't want to offend Satan, and I don't want to make him mad at me, so I'm just going to stay right here, and I'm just going to go to church on Sunday. No. Be bold. Be bold. You have the Spirit. Who's going to hurt you? What's going to hurt you? Nothing. You have Jesus on your side. You know, like Tiffany said, I grew up a cradle Catholic, and when my mom would take me to school in the morning, I would put on my armor of God. That was the routine. Every morning when she would drive me to school, I would put on my armor of God. And you might feel like you're 5 years old, but if you have to do that, do it. Because Christ is always showing you. He's always protecting you, and he's always there for you. So I went to St. K. Gargarella's house the other day, and she was just talking, just being Kay. She probably didn't even know that she was speaking to my heart, but she was. And she told me, honey, God cares about little prayers. God cares about the little things in life. Thank God for the little things in life. So you know what I've been doing every day for the past 2 weeks since she told me that? I've been thanking God for my bed. I've been thanking God for my house. I thank God for my toothpaste the other day. I'm not even kidding you. Thank God for my glasses, for my eyes, for my body, for my clothes, for my parents. Because we take advantage of these things so often. But God gives that to us. Like, that's such a gift. The fact that we're going to go home after this, and we're going to have a door to walk into. How many people live without a house? Lots. Millions of people all across the world. You're going to go home. You're going to go home tonight. You're going to sleep in your bed. How many people don't have a bed? Lots of people. There are lots of people who don't have beds. The little things in life that we don't think about, the people in our lives that help us grow spiritually, our parents, our friends, our mentors. I mean, how often do we really thank God for them? I mean, I know if Kay wasn't in my life, if Bob and Irene weren't in my life, if Mr. DeGeorge, if Tina, if just about everybody who's here wasn't in my life, I'd be nowhere. I would have nowhere to go with my faith. I'd just be sitting at home. You know, I mean, and you can do things.
I mean, after this, I can guarantee you're going to be hungry. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to want more. Read the Bible. Read this book. It's not written in Greek. It's written in English. I promise. Read it. It's good stuff. I would start with the New Testament. New Testament's more interesting to me. I don't like all those genealogies in the Old Testament. But once you read the New Testament, and you're like, oh man, I need to read the Old Testament now. Go out and read theology books. Read apologetics books. Learn. Go on the internet. Ask people. Call people. You're going to be hungry for more, and that's a good thing. Christ wants you to be hungry. He calls you to be hungry, and he gives you that desire to be hungry. So to grow in the Spirit, don't let this be it. This isn't it. This is, honestly, I don't mean this to sound like a cliched graduation speech, but this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning of a whole new life, and you might not realize that now. You might not realize that 5 years from now, but you will. You'll realize it. Somewhere down the road, you're going to be like, you know what? My confirmation retreat, I received the Holy Spirit, and I can deal with this now because I have that gift. I have that fruit. I have that charism. And then you thank God for it, and you start praising him. There's nothing wrong with being Catholic. There's nothing wrong with being charismatic. There's nothing wrong with raising your hands up in the air and saying, thank you, God. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Do it. Christ calls you to do it. Christ wants you to do it.